miles of faith.
This is on.
Yeah.
I mean this. That's. Well,
I'm really blown away. Reggie mentioned how everything just really tied together from what the song that he had picked and what was said, and then just what Jen said, and then the worship. Words in the worship songs that really kind of stuck out to you? Anything?
Overcome,
okay. Good. What else? What else was there?
Being redeemed.
Yeah. Resting, yeah. Yeah. What else do you?
Sending us out to be a light in a broken world.
Yeah.
So we can't just sit home and pray.
Yeah.
Sending us out.
Excellent. All right, so we're gonna be talking about I'll just get right into it. The message that came to me started this week when I listened to a prophetic dream by this young woman, and in the dream she was going to a wedding, and it was an outside wedding, and one of her friends was the bride, and she was going to be in the wedding because she was a friend of hers, and it was taking place along the seashore, but they were up on this high cliff above looking out at the sea. And when she was when she got up to the top of the cliff, this gigantic storm was brewing out in the ocean. Chaotic storm. Dark clouds. Lightning, the thunder, and they could hear it rumbling and coming in. Do you remember some words and songs?
Chaos.
Yeah. I always write song things down. I can't read it. That was part of it. And not to fear in the storm, he would be giving us light. There was some other song about light, and this is what I'm going to really be talking about today, and you'll see. But that song always, oh my gosh, it had everything in that song is in the message, and then the other songs all supported that, and it all has to deal with the fact that there's storms brewing. There's storms around us. There are storms and darkness that are still in us.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now let me finish the story of the girl. So this big storm's coming up, and she's getting more and more nervous, and so she said that in this vision she saw the bride, and she ran over to the bride. We've got to find some place to hide. We're up on this cliff, and she said, "I really noticed every detail about the bride's wedding dress." And she says, "I don't know why, but it was just, I knew everything about this wedding dress as I looked at her." So she says, "We got to find a place." And there was this tent, open faced tent that was up at the top of this cliff. So they ran up to the top of the cliff and went in, and just as the storm is going to hit, they get inside that tent, and a few other people get up there too. As soon as they got inside the tent, a feeling of peace and rest, even though the rain was pelting the tent, they were in a refuge. Was that word in there?
Yes.
God is speaking something very, very clear to us today. Though there's all this storm and clouds and darkness, He is our refuge.
Yes.
He is going to be there for us. He is the light in a dark place.
Yes.
We're not gonna get out of the dark place as it surrounds us. But you know what? We carry the light, His light, in a dark place. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And we have to remember this, because what happens is every single one of us, when we're in the storm, when we're in the problems and some deep darkness that hits our minds, and it's usually our minds where we really get plagued a lot by the enemy, right? We can get so caught up in it that we're not listening to the Lord Jesus. We want to. We're his children, his servants, those that he loves, those that he pours everything out into. And yet we can miss stuff because we get caught up, right? Just like what Reggie was saying, we can all of us get caught up in this life if we just would listen to him. And I'll tell you, there are things where we need to pull back, like Reggie was saying. And there's other places when God tells us to, where we need to step forward. It isn't just one thing or the other. We have to have a hearing relationship with God in these days of darkness. You see? So, yeah, you want to say something?
Just remember, real quick.
Yeah, no,
yeah, like, you know, every testimony is different every time, right? So,
yes.
So, like right now, God, that's my testimony.
That's yours, yes.
My testimony. That's not everybody's testimony,
no.
Right? So, my testimony is God said, pull out right
yes.
now, back off, stay in this position,
yes.
Right? Now, when He calls me to action, okay, I'm going to be ready.
That's right.
Because I'm going to be rested, because He's telling me, rest right now.
Yep.
You may have a time coming up that you're going to have to do stuff, right?
Right.
So just because I gave a testimony of resting and prayer and stuff like that doesn't
yes.
mean that means that's for everybody.
Right.
It just means that was my... But the point was, is listen...
Yes.
To Him.
Yes, that is exact.
To Him. When He's telling you to do something, you do it.
That's what
when
you
He's
mean.
Not telling you to do something, you don't.
Right. When it even sounds good, you know, like, you know, we want to do all these things for the Lord, but if He's not telling us to do it,
right,
that's when we're going to spin our wheels, that's when we're going to get weary, that's when all kinds of things start to happen to us. And so He's talking to each of us individually, and we're in different spots, there's different things that He's putting His fingers on, and so we can't say that, well, I'm going through this, so that means everybody's going to, you know, and that isn't what's going on, is it? Right? You understand? We're all in different places, but listen to God in the dark, in the darkness, when there's confusion, when there's chaos, right? So this girl said, After the dream ended, and she said, this friend of hers was not engaged, hadn't gotten married or anything when she had this dream or vision, I forget what it was. And she said that, you know, it's really hard to compete with the Godfather, you know. So she said that when she had this, that she had didn't know her friend wasn't engaged or anything. Well, a few weeks after she had this dream, her friend got engaged. And her friend asked her to be in the wedding. Mm-hmm. And her friend wanted her to go to get the wedding dress. And they go, and she's looking, and the girl says, "I think this is the one I'm going to get." It was nothing like it was in the dream. Nothing like it was in the dream. She goes, "Oh man, I missed it." So a few days later, there was something going on, and the bride-to-be invited the girl over to her house because she wanted to show her the wedding dress. And so when she got there, it was the exact dress. She decided she wasn't going to get the one she told her friend. When she went there to buy that dress, she decided she was buying this other dress instead. And she said, to the detail, it was the same dress that she saw in her dream, or vision, whatever it is. So she knew she had something to say. But it really, when she was saying all of this stuff, it really resonated with me that this was something that was important for me to hear, for you to hear, for our nation to hear, in the macro of it all. There's dark things going on, right? And that darkness, it isn't just around us. We have to understand that there's still darkness in us. Jesus says, if your eye is evil, then your whole body is full of darkness. And if what light you have in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So this darkness that we're talking about is out around us, but we need to dispel that in us, don't we? All right, so let's look at some things about light and dark. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Jesus is the light of the world. Mm. Was that in one of the songs?
Yes,
it was.
Yes.
I was magnifying God in the confirmation of all of this. He spoke to John very clearly. He spoke to Reggie. He spoke to Jen to share what she did, because it goes right along with, with all the chaos and all the disturbing things, and how the enemy works our minds and gets us to a dark place. A dark place. Every single one of you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yesterday, confession. Yesterday, for the first time, I've been trying to do this keto diet for a good long time, and I don't always do it good, but I try to do it pretty well. So I'm thinking I'm doing really pretty well, so for the first time yesterday, I bought a meter that checks ketones and blood glucose, and so I did it. And I thought, I'm going to be, it's good. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to have some good numbers. And they weren't good numbers. I wasn't in ketosis the way I thought I was. Well, let me tell you, the dark cloud came over my eyes. And when you look at something and you're disappointed, you have this thing that comes over you. You're not thinking, what?
A piece of cake.
Well, I am going in that direction here in this story. But so you feel sorry for yourself. You're mad. It's a dark place, isn't it, in your life? And when you're in that stage of thinking, you don't make the right decisions.
No.
Do you?
No.
So, I'm all upset. And thoughts come into my mind. Well, here I'm trying to eat right, I'm not even into ketosis. Well, I don't care then. I'm going to go get some crackers, and I'm going to slather a whole bunch of butter on it, and I'm going to have an oatmeal cookie, and I ate all that stuff last night. I had the worst stomach ache. I woke up around midnight, and my stomach was just killing me. And then when I got on the scale this morning, I got killed again by looking at what it said. So I'm so stupid. But when that dark creature grabs a hold of our mind, we do not make the right choices. Just keep that in mind. Darkness is not the place we want to be at. Right? When Jesus says, take that unprofitable servant and cast him out into outer darkness, it gives me the creeps. Because it's not like it's necessary. It probably is a place, but that's not necessarily a place as much as it's a place in our mind. The way we look at things. Two people can go through almost the exact same situation, and one person's going to look at it differently than the other. Isn't that weird? How some people, like kids that grow up and they're in a bad family situation or no family situation, they turn to drugs, and others don't. Why aren't all of them doing the same thing? There's something different about the way that they look at things. I think we were talking about this. It's looking at the bright side. Right? How we have to, as we go through dark situations, to find the silver lining. To understand that we have God in our lives. He's going to get us through. He is our refuge. He will give us light and wisdom.
Yeah.
Claude?
Yeah.
Wisdom. That is so much what is needed in a dark world.
Yes.
And we live in a dark world sometimes with the way we think and what we allow the thoughts to come and rule the way that we're going to feel. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So,
okay. Oh, I had some other things here, but I'm gonna skip some stuff. I guess I should point this out. With darkness, there are degrees of darkness, right? You got the dead of night, right? Pitch black. Pitch dark outside. It's the darkest time of the night, right? That seems to be the longest time of the night too. But then there's twilight, right? It's still dark, but there's a little bit of light. And lots of times I think we're in the twilight rather than in the day. You know what I'm saying? It's important for us to get out of even the twilight of things. God's giving us light, but let's get to the scriptures. Would you go to John chapter 8? John chapter 8. So here's the remedy to all of this darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus says this. Then Jesus spoke again to them and said, I am the light of the world. Who is the light of the world?
He is.
Jesus is the light of the world. Okay? And then he says this. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. What's the word follow mean?
To go with.
You're going with. You're accompanying Jesus. It doesn't say that once we've accepted him, that no matter what we do, where we go, whatever path we take, that we're going to be not in darkness. No, he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. Because he's the light. And we're listening, you know, it gets back to what Reggie was saying. You have to listen, you and I have to listen to what Jesus is telling us. If he tells us to step back, then step back. Right? If he tells you to move forward on something, move forward. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? He shall not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Eternal life. The life of the Creator. Right? Yeah, that word follows also means walking on the same road with. You and I are walking on the same road with Jesus. You know how we've talked before about, you know, you can take numbers of different choices, you walk down different paths. You're saved, but you're going down the wrong road right now. Right? That can happen to any of us, all of us. Okay? Here's something. Now we're going to follow this progression. So Jesus is the light of the world. Now go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Now notice, the source of our light is Christ. We don't have great wisdom and understanding and compassion and truth outside of Jesus, do we? Outside of the Word. He is the source of that. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. Now, why would he say that? What's Jesus saying here?
You have the ability to receive the light.
Because why?
Because Jesus is the light.
Because we're following Jesus. Aren't we? He's the light. We can be the light in the world if we're really following him, if we're listening to him, if we're being obedient, if we're sacrificing in our life.
Children of the light.
I have to be children. That's my next scripture.
Oh, sorry.
That's my next scripture. That's good. All right? So he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither can men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify God, your Father, which is in heaven. Now, this goes right back to what Steve just commented a few minutes ago. We have to be a people of prayer so that we're making our connection with Jesus. But prayer is not where it ends. Obviously, if men are going to see our good works, it's talking about the deeds that we do that follow our prayer. Do you get it? Jesus went off, withdrew himself at times, and went to the mountain to be by himself, away from everybody else, and pray and get regenerated with the knowledge of the Father and the energy of the Spirit of God. And that's what he did. But that isn't all he did. He ends up coming back after his prayer and doing the miracles and speaking the word and teaching and doing acts of kindness and all the other stuff. Right? And somebody mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's balance. It isn't just one thing or the other. Is it? You notice how God has fed us in a multiple way this morning. I'm blown away. This is so fantastic. You know, so there's something about going beyond praying. There has to be some kind of action, right? There's got to be some action that people see. Right? Acts of kindness. There's all kinds of things. Standing up against evil. There's many things that you could come up with if you were trying to think of some examples. You know. All right. So, and right before that, in Matthew 5:13, it talks about how the church should be the salt of the earth, that preserving power. Right.
Yes.
Well. We've talked a lot about that. All right, would you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8? Claude? You want to read that, Claude?
Sure.
Ephesians 5, 8.
Okay, Ephesians 5, 8. Mm-hmm. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists of... Do you want to read those?
No. Yeah. I mean, good. Yeah. But that's the point there, isn't it? We were sometimes darkness, but now we're light. Well, what's he mean? Walk as children as light, of light. Live as children as light. What's it mean? You got to put it in action. Right?
Yeah.
God's given it to us. His Spirit dwells within us. Right? Okay. So, and that word walk as children, it means to tread all around. That means get to know, it's like a dog or a cat, you know, they kind of mark out their territory. You know, they're treading, they're making sure that, I don't mean mark it out in what you're thinking. Alright, so it needs to tread all around to be occupied with, to live, and that was how Claude's translation read was live. Mine says, walk as children of light. Okay, here's the next scripture. But this is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, "But the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." So what? You see, it's... Whose path is it?
The just.
We can't just go live a sloppy life. We have to live a righteous life. We're not going to have light just, you know, beaming out of us if we're living a low level kind of life. All right. The more righteous we are, the more light we're going to be able to absorb and understand and hold on to. This is real, and then therefore give out. All right? So that's the path of the just is like a shining light. where we go as we're being listening and obedient to God and shunning evil and doing what is the right thing to do and seeking justice and seeking all the things that God says is part of who we're supposed to be and living in peace and living in harmony. Those kinds of things are going to produce a very bright, shiny path that other people are going to see. And people that are walking in darkness need to see the light, don't they? Okay. Psalm 97:11 says the same kind of thing. I have both of these, the just, and this one says, in verse 11, Psalm 97:11 says this, light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. We need, I know we hear this a lot, but we need a conviction of the Holy Spirit that goes deeper and deeper in us. If the storm is getting worse, if the darkness is getting darker, we have to be living brighter and brighter, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Listen to what Amos 5:20 says. Because we're coming down to the day of the Lord here. Mm-hmm. Listen to what it says. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? We don't think like that at all. We just think everything should be so bright. But the day of the Lord is a whole series of days. It isn't just one day. The day of the Lord is a time period. And it's the approach of the time when Jesus will come back. And in the time prior, it's going to be dark. It's going to be gloomy what we have to face on this earth. You get this? Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark. How's it say it here? Yeah, even very dark. And no brightness in it. Now that's talking about what's all around us. What's happening in the world? What's that?
What is the scripture in Amos?
Amos 5:20.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's going to be around us is going to be very dark. You see?
Yeah. But that.
And that.
Don't you think that's the.
Hold it.
The very dark.
Microphone.
Microphone.
Sorry.
Your head.
Now, don't take my thunder away from the next person. Go ahead.
Don't you think, though, that when the darkness pervades, the light shines even more?
Oh.
You can see.
No, off easy. Yes.
Yeah, because if it's only fairly dark, then a little candle isn't going to shine
right.
very much.
Right.
But if it's very dark, that will you just a little light is going to shine bright.
Yes. And listen to this. Because this goes right with what you said. Right? So here the scripture tells us, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it. Joel chapter 2, don't turn to it. It says, the day of his coming is a day of darkness and gloom. Now listen to what Psalm 112:4 says. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Isn't that wonderful? Even in this deepest darkness, light is going to shine for the what?
Upright.
Who? The upright. The upright. If we're just kind of going our own way, we're not going to understand what's going on. We're going to get caught up in the darkness. We're going to be overwhelmed by dark and bad thoughts that take a hold of our mind, take a hold of the attitude of heart, and take us down the wrong path because we're not living the way that we really should. You understand, Joe? You've been wanting to say something.
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, we'll go back.
When you talk about the light and the darkness, it reminds me of a lighthouse. It draws people to the light.
Yeah.
So if we shine bright, we can have people gather around us to find out why.
Yeah, exactly right. Jen, you got something?
So you just confirmed it with Psalm 112:4 for me. What God has been putting on my heart is that we can contribute to the darkness if we're not careful.
Yeah,
that's why the importance of going to Him first this past week and the beauty from it. I mean, the fact that I was able to just get through that in one day, but yet the week prior, the curses and the spewing and the contribution to the darkness that I let my emotions allow as they took over broke my heart when I realized by not keeping that under control and bringing it directly to Him, to the light, that we can contribute to the darkness. So it's definitely a time where we need to be careful about that.
Yes. And, even in the world's darkest hour, our country's darkest hour, your individual darkest hour, because we have the light of the world and He resides in us, there is always hope.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yes.
God will take things and turn them to good. He'll take bad things and turn them to good.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. But that's important for us to know because we're heading into more of a gloomy time here. And we have to be grown up enough to say, yep, we're going into a gloomy time, but we have Christ. And we have all that we need. And He will give us the wisdom and the strength, the ability, the energy to do what we have to do. And give us wisdom to not do that, but to go and do that.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get, and I think it was a very important point that was brought up. We can't be running around trying to put fires out that God is not telling us to go do. That is so important. But we do want to go and put out fires and stand in the gap when God is telling us to do that. Isn't that?
Yeah.
We just have to have that hearing relationship. Okay. Just two more scriptures and I'm gonna finish this up. Romans 13, verse 12. It says this. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. So in the prophetic time of things, we are moving out of dark time, and we're going to come into some twilight pretty soon. But right now, we're still in the dark, aren't we? About a lot of things. The day is at hand. So this is what He says to do. Since we know that Jesus is going to come again and come for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought?
Yeah.
He's coming for us. And He says here, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. How about that? We're not going to be putting the armor on over top of the works of darknesses. We're not going to do too well that way. But that's what he's telling us. It is a fight. We don't want that. We're involved in this fight whether we want to or not. It's the Lord's strength. It's the Lord's power. He's the victor, isn't he? He's the one who overcomes.
He's the armor.
But we're there too. And we have to fight. In a spiritual way. Don't we? Don't, isn't that what you do when things aren't going too well up in your head? You've got to fight to get control.
Yeah.
You and I have to fight to say, no, I'm not going to keep thinking like this. I'm not going to keep acting like this. This person I was listening to sometime this week was talking about the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, it talks about how the Antichrist, which is right at the, near the end of the age there, right? That the Antichrist is going to wear out the saints. That's how it says it in the book of Daniel. He's there and he's going to wear out the saints. You talk about being worn out. Mm-hmm. Right? I think Reggie even used those words.
Yeah, because the saints are going to be doing it.
Because, and that's why we better not be doing anything more than what God's asking us to do.
Right.
Right? But doing anything that he tells us to do too, right? Alright, so this last scripture. It's 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And he talks about how he's going to destroy the wicked one, but any kind of wickedness, really. Will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Yeah. His power. We're involved. We're co-laborers. Don't forget that. We co-labor. Jesus does it through us. He does it on his own and he does it through us, doesn't he?
How come even when you're stepping back, you can still be a light because you still function
in
the capacity of being a light.
Yeah.
Even though you may not be doing certain particular things,
you're doing what God wants you to do.
You're doing what God's got you to do, and other people are still going to see that coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll see it. I think it becomes real evident and very apparent when a person is. As a person of prayer, a person of retrospection, it comes across. You can see it in the way that they carry themselves, their soberness, and the way they approach life and people and situations. There are things that I see in you guys. In an individual kind of basis, I'm talking about not all together one blob, but as a person, and
behind the blob.
I'm going to pick one person to mention because I really noticed this really strongly this morning. So Kathy and I got here early and were surprised to see that John was already here. I thought we were early, but John was already here and he was practicing up there. I walked in the door and John was singing. And I felt the presence of God. Wow. John, did you feel the presence of God while you were singing?
Yes, honestly, I do better when I'm practicing than when I'm
looking for it. Well, let me tell you, is, when people reach in to know the Lord and to do what He wants them to do, and if it's off prayer, during prayer time, and you know, you're off and you're like pulled back, like how Reggie said, there's going to be such an impact when you do get around people. Yeah. Just do what the Lord tells you to do, because wow, this was quite the service this morning in terms of impact, what the Lord is speaking, what the Lord is doing inside of all of our hearts, and what He wants to do inside all of our hearts. Right? He is the light. And He is the light in a dark place. Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody had a hand up. Oh,
What you're saying reminds me of that scripture, in quietness and strength I am saved. You are saved, but you say, no, I shall run on horses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Therefore, you shall flee, is what it says.
Yeah.
So, you're, like Reggie was saying about resting and listening in quietness and strength, we're saved. But if we take the reins of the horse, then we're going to be fleeing, because God will allow that to happen for us to learn, I guess.
Yeah,
that, you know, we're supposed to be. When God tells us to be quiet, that's where our strength. We better be quiet and not go fleeing and running with the horses. And we're supposed to be.
And speak when He tells.
Yeah.
Praise God. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing in all of our lives, how You speak to us, how You move on our hearts and our minds. Ask, Lord, now that You strengthen us for the work of service, and that that we have ears to hear and be obedient to what You tell us to do in these days ahead. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we hear a message and then we go,